This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Hi, everyone. I am so excited because today we get to sit down with longtime Emma board member and chair of the Emma Parent Board, Constance Zimmer. I'm Debbie Levin, and you're listening to Organic Lunch with Debbie Levin on lineupmedia.fm network. Hi, everybody. This is Debbie Levin, and this is Organic Lunch, although we're actually having brunch this morning.
And we're actually not eating.
Will eat. I would love to have some of the food here. It's so good. We're at O'Fudge, again, our home base. And I'm so excited to have my so dear friend and incredible actor, Constance Zimmer, the star of Unreal. The star who's actually been very recognized, had a very busy year, won a Critics' Choice Award last year, is up again this year and was nominated for an Emmy. And so I'm thrilled. And I'm more thrilled because I get to see you. Because we're so busy and you shoot in Vancouver.
Yes, exactly.
But we have been friends and you have been involved with the Environmental Media Association for a very, very, very long time.
Can you even remember what that year was when I first met you?
I feel like, I'm just going to tell
Ed
you
Norton
that.
Norton was getting honored. I think that was
God. That makes sense. That was in 2002.
Okay. I love that you just know it off the top of your head.
Because didn't Blythe also get an award that year?
Maybe.
And she had just lost her husband. And I don't know how interesting this is to everybody, but she's amazing. And we honored her. And during the process, she lost her husband. And we were also honoring, we gave Edward Norton the first of the Emma Futures Award. And this year, Jaden Smith and Shailene Woodley got that same award. So and you were on Boston Legal. No.
Was I? I don't even know what show I was on in 2002.
But I remember when you were on
Good Morning Miami,
and I didn't know you. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh my God, she is so talented and so amazing. I love her. And then probably a couple of years later, we met.
Yeah, because I was invited, you know, when all of a sudden you're on shows that people are watching, you know, you get invited to events. And I was at a point, I think, in my career where I was getting invited to so many events, so many different charities, so many different organizations, and all these things that I felt really, connected to. And obviously, one of them being the environmental issues at the time, even. And I remember I came to the awards.
To present, yes.
I was on Good Morning Miami because I remember I had this conversation with Ed Norton and he's like, I don't get it. Are you a newscaster? And I was like, no, I'm an actor on a show. It's behind the scenes of news station.
Well, I clearly got it.
That was a whole nother conversation. I also won an electric lawnmower that year
that I used
on my yard, pushed it myself.
Oh my God.
Which was another conversation that Ed Norton did not believe that I would be pushing my own lawnmower.
Okay. See,
anyway, so that was
my first vibe.
That was my first event with you guys, and I remember doing the red carpet specifically.
Green.
It was about the green carpet. Sorry, yes, of course, and really like having answers to the questions. A lot of times you go to events, and I'm like, I actually don't know, but I had so many answers, and I realized this is so important. And I know all the answers to why I care about the environment, what I can do to help the environment, the ways that I had already been doing things for the environment that I didn't even realize people weren't doing. Like I was bringing my own bags at that time. And I remember talking to reporters and they're like, what do you do? And I was like, well, I recycle. I buy organic whenever I can. I bring my own bags to whenever I shop. And they were like, bring your own bags. What's that? I said, what do you mean? What's that? I don't want to have a new bag every time I shop. And so I remember that was it for me because it was also the event itself. Your message was so easy to understand. And it was really simplified in a way where you felt like just doing something was more than doing nothing.
Right.
And that was like, oh, I can
encouraging.
So encouraging. So encouraging. And yeah, but I mean, how many years later did you ask me to be on the
Well,
board?
Then you, like, every new show you would come and present.
Right. And then I slowly started not being as available as I was, because I was like, oh no, you can't have it that month. I'm not going to be around.
Right. But you came a lot. Uh-huh. You presented a lot. And uh-huh. then we decided, okay, it's like, this is enough already of you just popping in and out. And we had lunch.
Yes.
And everything we sort of thought about our chemistry, connection, and passions was about a million times, and you came on, but I had asked you to come on the Young Hollywood board.
Right, which I said, have you seen me? I'm not Young Hollywood. That's very sweet of you. Well, and that was when we came up with the idea for a parent board.
Right.
Because Coco at the time was, she's 8 now, and that was, I don't know, how long ago was that? 3 or 4 years ago?
Oh, no, way more. Honestly, it was, I think, in 2009, and I know that too.
That's crazy.
Because
and impressive.
I think Alex was pregnant. My daughter was pregnant, which is why I was thinking about all this.
Right, right.
The timing was perfect because Coco was.
So, I mean, if it was that long ago, then she was only like a year or two old.
That's all she was. Okay. She was a baby and Alex was pregnant.
Okay.
And so we were both like literally on the same page
with
that.
Well, and because I do find that you're environmentally conscious, whether you have kids or not, it just shifts into something that feels far more urgent.
Yes.
When you see this tiny being and you bring them into this world and you get all this information about what's good, what's bad, what's otherwise, what's unknown. And so, yeah, I definitely was like, wait, when you become a parent, you're like, it becomes 10 times more about what can I do? How do I help them have a better world? Because we're kind of stuck in the one that we've already created.
Right. But we have,
we're helping.
We have solutions.
We have solutions.
Yes. We're the positive organization.
This is true. This is very true.
Right. But I also think the primary concern when you do have a baby or when you are pregnant is, oh my God, I have to take care of this, our house. I have to make everything as safe as possible because you have no control about when you're outside. So I think being able to be in, you know, super control of your own environment comes with, oh, then you were like, where do I get this information? Who do I trust? What do I do? So I think that's something that, as you were saying, we can simply and weed out all of the untruths out there and be that place to find out.
Well, and that's what you guys have always done so well, was I felt that you make it easy by putting out, here are simple facts, here are simple ways, and even you can do this, even if all you can do is recycle, you know, reminding people that that's a lot,
right?
Because there are so many people that do absolutely nothing,
right?
You know, just like all the people that didn't vote,
right? All those
Sorry.
People, yes.
But I'm just saying, it's like it's something about trying, and it's something about just not trying at all.
Right. And I think kids, like, I know that Coco, just like Stella, my 6-year-old granddaughter, they would not even know any idea of leaving water on when they're brushing the teeth. It's not even in their realm of this is the way things are.
Well, I will tell you, though, as a kid, I remember my mom always turning off lights. That was like a big deal in our house.
It's the German influence, because my mother's from Austria and my family is Russian. And it was dark. I mean, like, you leave a room, you turn that light off. But I don't think it was the same reasons that we had, but it all kind of goes into, for us, it wasn't.
True.
It was like, it was that taking care of what you had, and it was financial,
but
and it was everything
was
else.
My mom was like eating hemp and like carob chocolate. And
well, let's talk a little bit about that.
I was getting like granola instead of cookies. Like, my mom was super, super healthy, organic, buying it, shopping at co-ops.
So how, like, let's talk about, because you grew up in a couple of different places, mm-hmm. and it's really interesting because you are so much younger than me, and so we have a different thing. Like, I didn't know anything.
Right.
And so, but I didn't even know as much when I was raising my kids, who are younger than you.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know as much as your mom did, because I wasn't raised that way, and it wasn't out in the world. We didn't have an Emma that was talking about this. Tell me, like, let's talk about your childhood a little bit, because that's really interesting, and everybody doesn't know.
Like, right. But I think, yes, because it definitely has made an influence on me on how I already knew stuff.
Right.
Be as an adult.
And yeah.
Even as a teenager, I already was aware.
I mean, the fact that your mother knew things and exposed and taught you guys to live a certain conscious way, you were really lucky. And so, like, because a lot of people, you know, didn't have that. And they had to all of a sudden be there. They still don't know that. All of a sudden, it's like, what am I doing? So, and how do I do it? So why do you think your mother was that aware at that time?
You know, I think my mom has just, for as long as I can remember, was, you know, very hippy dippy. I just think
that was the key.
And so her awareness was more of like what you're putting into your children food wise. So it was all about, you know, we never got sugar cereals. Everything was granola. Everything was vegetables and fruits, and everything was what went into our bodies was all very healthy. But then we would go and be with our dad, and it was like, go to the grocery store and buy whatever you want.
Right.
We'd buy Costa's fruit pies and Twinkies. And because we were so lacking it.
Yeah.
We were like, oh my God. It was like, you know, and so what it taught me with my daughter was really about, it's all about, everything in moderation.
Yes.
So not doing one extreme, because one extreme makes you crave the other.
Right.
So for me, and I think that's true about everything, you know, we really, should I pause for the sirens? Okay.
They'll take it away.
They'll take it away.
Although it's actually really here. Yeah.
But no, I think that for her, if I were to make everything healthy and organic and very, very specific, she would grow up in a world feeling like, oh, I can't ever sway one way or another because that's so bad. I mean, she already goes to families' houses and says, I'm just letting you know I only eat organic.
Oh my God, she's so cute.
Now, that's an 8-year-old. I have never said that to her. She has kind of taken that on herself. And right. I have these parents that email me and they're like, we don't have all organic in our house. And I said, it's okay. It's all right. She will eat things that aren't organic. She's just trying to set a mood. So that's really what I've come up with saying. Like, she just wants you to be aware that she does. She prefers to eat healthy over not healthy, you know. And it's funny, though, because now I go, okay, have I pushed it too much? But she's okay. It's about trying to balance it out.
Right.
And I just learned that from, because I didn't have the balance. I had one extreme to the next.
And there's also better, let's be honest, there's way better organic and healthy and local food right now. You can bake and it's insane. Like, there's no reason you can't be seamless.
Correct.
And it is definitely true, because I know that even with Stella, her friends, she's got some friends who aren't allowed to eat like anything at their house. They go to my daughter's house and they're like in the cabinet, in the refrigerator, they're grabbing everything they can, even though it's actually like 90% organic and sustainable, but she'll buy those versions. And just to have that balance, there's nothing forbidden. But then you go out into the world and, you know, you're not running up to fast food places, but you still go out and there has to be that acceptance. Where this is the world. That gets back to like keeping your family safe.
True.
So,
I just believe that our kids do so much without our knowledge and so much that we don't approve of, that I'm just excited that there's certain things that are sticking with her.
Yeah.
You know, like she'll go to her grandparents in Nashville and the first thing she'll ask is, where's your recycling bin? You don't have a recycling bin. And she doesn't know any different.
Right.
So, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So what we do is we end up getting a bag, and the time we're there, we put it all in a bag and we go and we drive somewhere where we can put it in a recycling bin.
Right.
But I can't expect them to change their ways.
Right.
Because a lot of people don't know any different. So I think that what Emma is doing so well is just saying, this might not be, you might not have this in your state, you might not have this in your country, but you can do it for yourself. And that is doing something.
But it's actually your voices.
Like, correct.
What we do, we can create sort of the protocol, but it's up to our talent, who are our board members, mm-hmm. who have the huge voices. Like, you share so much on social like from what we talk about, that's the educational curve. I mean, they're not going to listen as much to our specific staff in the organization, but you're reaching millions of people. And that's a huge, huge voice. And then
or
multiply.
68,000.
Or 68,000.
Let's just talk about it. Real numbers. No, but I do agree. But it's, you know, it is called social media.
Yes.
It's supposed to be a way that people are being social and not just posting selfies all the time, but posting what they believe in and trying to get information out. And, you know, it's a really difficult place because you can't overload people with information that they're like, I don't want to see this. I do want to see your selfies. So it's about a balance of, again, it's all about a balance, everything in moderation. Don't overflood people with too much information that they cannot grasp it. And don't overflood them with too much stuff that's just about you and your life. And here you are in makeup and here you are in dresses, but here's actually what your real life is about. And so I'm trying to keep the messages flowing in a way that people can take them in and want to read them. And, but again, I think, you know, your website as well, the Emma website is such a great place to go to if you don't, because there is so much information being shot at us by all different places. So, you know, I think that's what's great about the website. And I love that you're now doing these little podcasts because anybody can listen to a podcast.
I know.
Right? And you can like, you're like, oh, I love that person. Oh, what's she going to say today? Right?
Right.
And it's not like I'm trying to like pretend that I'm holier than thou. I'm not. There's a lot of things I don't do correctly, but there's a lot of things
you're
that
pretty
I'm
good.
Trying to do.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, of course, we're coming to the holidays and what's the first thing I'm doing? I'm thinking about all of the toys that I can put up on eBay so that parents can recycle gifts instead of buying them new.
Let's talk about toys. Okay, I just have to say, when I first walked into your house, I came to the realization that you actually sew doll clothes from old kitchen towels. You buy your daughter gifts that are, you know, that
already used.
You are a huge proponent of eBay, as you said, in terms of, you know, children's toys. I was blown away and I probably have told everyone that I've ever met because I was so impressed. So that to me was like, I kind of feel like I knew everything else. That's a game changer. Like, who else do you know, honestly, that really does that?
I don't know a lot. I don't.
I mean, whoever you know learned from you, though, by the way.
That's very sweet of you to say. But it's also not something I would expect people to take on because it's a lot of work.
That's a big deal. And you have to be like good at stuff and craftsy and know how to do this.
Sure, but that's a simple thing. I mean, to what happened is I was getting really attached to like her shirts that got huge stains on them when she was a baby. But I was like, oh, the fabric's so beautiful. I love it. I want to keep it and do something with it. So that's kind of where it started. I was like, well, if I cut out the stains, but then just kind of stitch it up to make a skirt for her Barbie, it was easy. That's like a simple, it's like the littlest, tiniest thing that I would be like, oh, and then I'll always have this. And, but there's also amazing companies that make like stuffed animals where you can send them like five or six of your favorite baby clothes and they will take strips.
Will
of
you
the
send
material.
Me the link for that? Because I want to do that for
they'll take strips the of material and they'll make like stuffed animals with it.
Wow.
And so like Coco has this bear that has all of her favorite, my favorite, because she obviously wouldn't care at the time, like baby clothes. I'm constantly taking everything that's Coco's and putting in a bag and calling friends and saying, what age are your kids now? Can I, you know, hand-me-downs are the
hand-me-downs are everything.
The greatest thing in the world.
Right.
And people who can buy anything they want still love hand-me-downs.
Oh,
because
yeah.
There's something about it. Again, it's all about reuse, recycle, reduce, all of that, all those R's, whatever those R's are. But
you do it so much more creatively. I really have to know. I mean, I know what you do and it still astonishes me. And I think that it's a great actually tip for our listeners because there's probably more people who aren't intimidated by this like you are than me who the thought of like, oh my God, what do I do with that?
But you can do things without sewing. I mean, that's the one thing too. There's the idea that like
I could bake anything. Just
no,
can't
but
sew.
But the idea too of cutting, you can cut little carpets out of like blankets that have gotten all like thrashed or whatever, or out of clothes, and that you don't have to sew. You know, Coco had all these dollhouses. And so it was about, ooh, what can we make for this dollhouse with something, you know, that we're going to throw away or can't be given up to someone because it's so stained. So it really just became about, if you don't want to sew, you can also take stuff and like glue it around a frame. You can take material and glue it around a wooden frame. Like, you can find ways to use scraps of material. And that's because that's what it comes down to, the stuff that you can't give away or whatever.
But
yeah, I mean, now it's the holidays and I'm like, Coco just wants to get rid of her whole Barbie collection, which, by the way, I've collected over months and months and months on eBay. All of her Barbies were eBay. And so now I'm trying to find out, I want all of those Barbies back on eBay for all the parents to now go, my kid is so into Barbies. And, you know, the 1970s Barbies, the bodies were different than like the Barbies
of
today.
I have my Barbies that I kept.
Yeah.
And I really need to let the kids play with them because I keep being afraid because Asher took his head off, or the heads off with Alex's. But I have a couple of like mine. And those are from the early 60s.
Yeah.
And they are, because I think Barbie and I are either the same age or close to the same age or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it's incredible because I've got like the curly black hair with that bathing suit, like the original one. And then I've got like her friend and Ken. And it's amazing because that's so much more precious. Mm-hmm. I mean, now you could, it's easy to go buy a Barbie.
But it's the first thing my mom said to me today. She's like, why are you not going to keep them for her kids? I said, because I asked her and she doesn't want them.
Or you keep one. That's amazing.
Yeah, she took two. She took the two that mean something to her. And I kept one that means to me something. And those will be the ones we keep. But otherwise...
Isn't it amazing though how many Barbies kids have now when you like, like you get one Barbie.
Yeah.
And now people get like 4,000 Barbies with different outfits and different
everything in moderation.
Right.
You appreciate less. You appreciate it when you have less. If you don't need 30 of them because then you don't know which one to play with.
Right.
It's just like there's too many options.
Which is also a big point about being an environmentalist and having sustainable lifestyle is you save money. You save money in all kinds of ways. Turning those lights off. Mm-hmm. Doing, you know, recycling clothes and toys and growing your own, you know, vegetables and herbs. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is all definitely economically really prudent to do.
And kids so appreciate watching something grow. I have to tell you, it's like the greatest thing in the world that you had no idea. Coco, and we started really small. We started with herbs. And she was like, mommy, I mean, like at 5, mom, can I go cut the mint to make mint tea? And I said, yes, it's right there on our balcony.
Right.
And that you realize when you see that, how special that moment is that they grew that. They planted it, they grew it, they watched it grow, they watered it. And then it gets bigger when you're like, oh my God, pull out a carrot or a tomato or a cucumber. You know, it doesn't have to be, again, it doesn't have to be these huge extremes.
Right.
You know, I got one of those above ground, but what are they called?
Those planter boxes.
Yeah, the planter boxes.
Right.
And just enough. Like, it's just enough to show what matters.
Right. I even have them in big pots outside because I love the way they look and I love the way they smell. And so you can do it on a windowsill. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can do anything. And it's that connection to watching something grow from little to feeding you.
Right.
And there's nothing that's really like that. And for children, I think especially, I mean, when kids are in elementary school and nursery school, they want to know everything and they absorb everything and they're excited by everything. But to ingrain that, just like you said, you know, certain behaviors that Coco has, that's who she is. It's not going to change when she's 16 or when she's 30 because she's formed as you were.
Right. I've given her the knowledge and I've let her kind of go with it. Because that's all we can do.
Right. It's all you can do. And you can see what resonates and what's really important. Mm-hmm. Speaking of resonate and important, we just had an election that was so unexpected. What do you do? Like, obviously, you teach kids that their vote counts, because I think that factored into a lot of what went on with the election this year, that enough people didn't go out and vote. And then also, you know, as family, whatever you're doing, you sort of, your kids definitely know. They have, they hear you, they kind of align with you. They actually had a little mock election in my granddaughter's kindergarten K-1 class. Mm-hmm. And so they know everything. And if it doesn't go the way that your family wanted it to go, how do you then talk to an 8-year-old?
It was rough. I have to say, it was not what I had anticipated. It is not what I would have wanted to have to talk to her about, because we were all there. We were all watching the election together. And I'm grateful that I kept a lot of my true emotions throughout the whole election in a very moderate place, because there are some people who had extremes, so that the backlash was a harder thing to talk about. You know, it became more about making sure that your children are aware that they're safe. And this actually, in a weird way, is not going to affect them as much as it's going to affect their parents. And that now is a time to kind of come together more in the realization that we're not all the way we are in California. We're not as aware and as specific about what we need and what we want. And the same thing with New York. And being a little bit more sensitive to realizing we're not all on the same page. And so that means we need to talk more. We need to communicate to people more and not just assume that we're all in this together. And it's been kind of working out for what I've seen in our kids, as kids are being more open about, like, that hurt my feelings. That felt like you were bullying me. Like, they've now been aware of bullying, which is interesting that that's what's coming out.
Yeah, that is what's coming out.
For that age.
Yeah.
And that about, if you feel like someone's picking on you, because ultimately, what they've seen, what they've heard is like a man who was very, very big and brash and didn't have many consequences. And so showing kids that being this way should have consequences.
Right. I mean, also just being aware of most kids' first election for the president was, this was not our shining moment. You know, as a country,
right.
The way the process went. And I think that that's too bad, because you really want to. I mean, I remember I was 18 for a couple of weeks when you got the vote at 18. I was so excited and so empowered, and it was amazing that I could go in there and I had listened to everything, the primaries and, you know, the whole election, all the debates. It was incredible, and at least it was professional. And so I think for these kids who have seen even a bit of it, it is jarring. And I think that I understand why the bullying came out as the top takeaway.
Well, and also because anything that my daughter had seen or heard was, there was a lot of yelling. There's a lot of yelling.
Yeah.
And, you know, even just watching SNL, it was a lot of yelling whenever he was portrayed. And that might not have been correct by the media, but that is, as a little kid, I think that's what you're going to, again, you can give them a lot of information, but they're going to take what they want,
right,
and what sticks with them more.
Right.
And so, you know, but they're all over it already. They've moved on.
Yeah, that's
Whereas
true.
We can't, and
right,
we haven't, and we shouldn't.
Right.
We should continue to fight and teach and give knowledge where knowledge is needed. And it just, now it just becomes a different fight.
It just becomes sort of what we've always said, which is the individual is very important to keep on track. You need to support companies that think like you, because we're all buying things all the time. And I think that in a way, the corporate world and the solution-based businesses that are coming out and all the startups are so much more urgent than a few days ago. Even though they were always urgent, that picture is the one that remains and that we really can change the way we, the problems that we have with climate and food mm-hmm. safety and everything else by supporting technology and solution-oriented companies.
And look, the plastic bag proposition passed. And how long have you been trying to fight that?
I don't know, 15 years?
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So there is hope.
Yes.
This is what I believe in. There was a lot of great things that passed and that happened. There's a lot more, there's more women that actually, I mean, there's four women that got voted in, but you know, it's progress. Baby steps.
Right.
You know, we could have taken a big step back, but that's all right. Just means we all have to walk a little bit faster with our baby steps.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 1,000,000%. Right.
Obviously, it's weird that we still have to talk about recycling.
It's so weird.
There are still a lot of people that don't. So, you know, I think still reminding people that recycling is huge, especially now you see all these companies coming out with like flip-flops that have been made out of plastic bottles. You know, there's so many things now that people are making out of recycled items. So
right.
I think that that is still a huge message that people need to remember. I do love, what I've really loved is the trying to grow as much stuff in your house, even if it's herbs. That's one less thing that you're going and buying that's in packaging, blah, blah, blah.
And it's fun and it's fresh
it's fun,
amazing.
It's a great thing to do as a parent with your kid. You know, we even turned, it was a fairy garden that we turned into an herb garden. So it became like, you know, it's fairies, but then it's sprinkled with seeds that are herbs that then, you know, we would say the fairies eat it and we eat it. You know, it's like making children and mom projects as you're not trying to like, say this is so environmentally friendly. No, it's just a message, which is it's all for everybody. We're doing this for all of us. And you know, I'm very happy that the plastic bag passed, because that's, again, I can't believe
I was actually there when it theoretically passed a few years ago, and then all of a sudden I get this phone call, oh, by the way, maybe not.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, I'm still surprised that people aren't bringing their own bags to stores.
So surprised.
I have so many of those like really inexpensive, like little fold up bags in my purse. And whenever somebody is around me at a store, grocery store, wherever, because I bring them everywhere. I bring them just like when I shop for clothes even.
Right.
And I will always hand somebody one of those bags because that's kind of like a fun thing to do. It's a way to say, you know, I'm here to help you. We're all here to help each other.
Have you ever gotten like a not okay reaction to that? I'm just curious.
No, everybody's always
amazing.
Everybody has always been like, what?
That's great. Yeah.
And I said, listen, it's one less bag. So just take it. It's my gift to you. You know, I think those are random acts of kindness that we all should be doing every day. And whether it's, you know, when you see a meter expired and you put in a quarter for somebody, it's just, we don't all need to be thanked for the things that we're
right.
doing for others. But
right.
that I love. That's always a fun thing for me. And, you know, I think buying organic makes me feel a lot better about a lot of the food.
It's also accessible in big box stores.
But by the way, we should tell people that, and I learned this at one of our salons we did, that frozen fruit is it's not labeled organic, and we heard all the facts, but you can buy frozen fruit and that is just as good as the organic fresh fruit that is being sold in stores. So it doesn't have to be organic frozen fruit.
Right.
And I think that's a big savings for people who can't afford all organic food.
Right.
I know it's more expensive.
The other thing is also the farmer's market opportunity, and they may not be or certified organic, the fruits and vegetables at farmer's markets. You find out, you ask questions, do you grow anything with pesticides? Like, what do
right.
you put in? And it takes 7 years to become certified organic. These people will go out of business. You need to support your local
right.
sustainable farms. And the other thing is, when you go to the market and you look at fruits and vegetables especially, find out where it comes from. If it's coming from across the world,
right.
that's not helpful.
Right.
Because everything it takes to come to that market kind of defeats the purpose. So you're better off buying something local that's in season.
Right.
and always buying in season.
And also, I have to say, you know, we got all of the water filtered in our house so that we could just fill up water in glass bottles. Or I think that that's a big thing.
Big thing.
The plastic bottles, the plastic water bottles. When people, when I see those little itty bitty.
Oh, those small pints, ones just like kill me. But you know, you actually were at a camping trip with your daughter for the awards this year, which I'm so sad. It was wonderful. And I missed you so much.
I missed you guys.
But we have a new sponsor. We won't get into this, but they do. It's Jaden Smith's company. Mm-hmm. And they do recycled paper water bottles with plant-based caps. And when people need water when they're not home, it's a reality. This is an incredible option. It's just water. And when I saw, I didn't even know Jaden was involved with it. I saw it and I thought this was the most incredible thing because it's a real opportunity. Right now it's 87% all recycled, sustainable, and they're quickly moving forward.
That's what I mean.
So yeah, so to buy plastic is crazy.
Right, but supporting companies that are doing their part.
Right.
I think that's a very, very important message because if we don't support them, then it means their message doesn't matter.
Right.
And their message does matter.
Does matter. Well, this has been so fun.
Yeah, we could talk for days.
We could actually talk for days. But I just want to thank you for being you, just because I love you, and for being an amazing chair of the Young Hollywood Committee and an active executive board member and an amazing friend. So,
well, I thank you though for keeping getting the message out there no matter what, just fighting the good fight, because we all can't give up.
No, you can't give up, and we have power.
Right.
We have power.
That's right.
We should end on that. We have a ton of power. So thank you. Thank you so much for listening to Organic Lunch with Debbie Levin. Be sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and wherever you get your podcasts. You can find the show online as well at www.environmentalmedianetwork.com. This is Debbie with Organic Lunch with Debbie Levin, and we thank lineupmedia.fm for hosting our show.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.